You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Tommy Stokey here for Locked On MLB, your daily podcast covering Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is Monday, April 30th, which means we have power rankings today, and we look ahead at which team has the most important week in baseball. And there were a couple teams that I looked at, but I think one in particular stands out, and it's not necessarily just this week, but it's an important stretch for this particular team, especially after the week that it just had. So we'll take a look at that. We will take a look first at our power rankings, see who's on top, and there's a twist this week. Normally I do my top 10 teams that had the best week in baseball. I can't come up with 10 teams. And so I'm not going to reward teams for being average or bad and not having great weeks. And so I don't have 10 teams this week. So we'll take a look at what those look like. And then in segment two, take a look at the Los Angeles Dodgers and why they have the most important week in baseball. But first, let's get to our power rankings. All right, number eight. Again, I'm not doing 10 teams because 10 teams didn't deserve to be ranked this week. There weren't a lot of teams with winning records. So number eight comes in the Arizona Diamondbacks. They went 4-2. They still have not lost a series all season, which is one of the most impressive feats so far in the season, especially with, we talk about this all the time, with their underperformance from some players, with their injuries. In Jake Lamb, Steven Souza, they have more injury trouble now. Robbie Ray left in the second inning on Sunday against the Washington Nationals with an oblique injury. We'll see what kind of effect that has on him and how much time he's going to miss, if any. Obliques can be tricky. You're talking about an injury that could take, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, depending on the severity of it. So that could be that could hurt the Diamondbacks. They're already having their depth tested with Taijuan Walker out for the year with Tommy John surgery. So, but 4-2 on the week, 2 out of 3 against the Nationals, 2 out of 3 against the Phillies, both on the road. Now they head home to face the Dodgers. The Atlanta Braves, number 7, they were the team that I said had the most important week last week. I said that if they went 4-3, they probably should be a little disappointed. I'm going to soften my stance on that a little bit. 4-3 is pretty good for, you know, a 7-7 road games in a row. I know that you want to do better than 2-2 and getting a split against Cincinnati, but they got the split in Cincinnati on the road, and then more importantly, they take 2 out of 3 against the Phillies on the road, and then they get the debut from Ronald Acuna, and he looks like everything that was expected. So still going to be some up and downs there, but a pretty good week for the Braves. And then it could get better because Mike Soroka could be the next man up if they need a start. Luis Gohara was activated from his rehab stint but was assigned to the minor leagues. Hasn't been quite as sharp, so some more names could be on the horizon there for debuts for the Braves. Number 6, Tampa Bay Rays, 4-1. They're now only 2 games under 500. I believe I saw something that they're like the first team to ever lose 8 in a row and win 8 in a row in April or in 1 month, and so they've fought their way back to almost 500. They took 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox, and they took 2 games against Baltimore. Number 5, the Pittsburgh Pirates. After everything I read last week, it sounded and heard, everybody was kind of leaving the Pirates for dead because they went into a bit of a rut after their hot start. And so I guess the Pirates aren't dead yet. They are 17-11 and still in first place in the NL Central. And that's coming off a big week where they went 5-1. They took 2 out of 3 against Detroit. And more importantly, they swept the St. Louis Cardinals. So not a good week for the Cardinals when you get swept to a division rival. And Pittsburgh bouncing back nicely. Nick Kingham made his major league debut, took a perfect game deep. And so he looks like he's there to stay. So that's good news for Pittsburgh, but overall 5-1, sweeping the Cardinals, that'll get you up there in the power rankings. Number 4, another NL Central team with a sweep to brag about this week, the Chicago Cubs, 5-1. They swept Milwaukee in four games. They split with the Cleveland Indians. They are now, what is it? They're now like 7-1 against the, 7-1 against the Brewers this year. And we talked about before how important it was to establish yourself to a team like the Brewers to say, we're not going anywhere. We're not going to let this happen again and all that stuff and just play well against them. The Brewers are 16-13. The Cubs are 15-10. The good news for the Cubs is they did that without Chris Bryant, who was recovering after getting hit in the head by a pitch last week. So they did it without him. But then he also came back. He avoided the DL and looks to be healthy. But the other good news is the pitching staff has really come around. Yu Darvish was good this weekend. Jose Quintana's successful stretch has continued. So as we hear more and more about how many home runs Eloy Jimenez is hitting, it's easier for Cubs fans to swallow that pill and see that news if Jose Quintana is pitching well, and that he is. Number three, the Seattle Mariners. 5-2 on the week. They took 3 out of 4 at Cleveland and then 2 out of 3 at the White Sox. So 5-2 when you're playing 7 games on the road, hard to do in Major League Baseball. That's why I cut the Braves some slack when they only went 4-3. Beating the White Sox is what you're supposed to do if you're the Mariners, but then taking 3 out of 4 against Cleveland, which still, 14-12, they don't really have any competition, especially with the Twins playing as poorly as they are in the AL Central. But the Mariners, 16-11, only 2 games back of the Astros so far, off to a good start, but getting that 3 out of 4 in Cleveland is awfully impressive. Number two, the San Francisco Giants. 5-2 on the week, moving them to 14-14 on the season. They're still doing this without Madison Bumgarner. They got Jeff Samardzija back. Chris Stratton took a bit of a beating, but they took 3 out of 4 against the Dodgers and 2 out of 3 against Washington. So those are two good teams, or teams that are supposed to be good, and the Giants pick up 5 out of 7 there. They're getting better results from Evan Longoria, so he's looked better. That's always good. And if they can hang around, and we've talked about this before too, if they can hang around for a while, then when Madison Bumgarner comes back, you get that added boost, and maybe they can make a wild card run, because you look at what I realize it's April 30th, so talking about wild card seems kind of stupid, but just the general landscape, it's not like there's really anybody running away just yet. In the division, you have the Diamondbacks that are kind of pulling away at 19-8. The NL Central is tight, 17-11, 15-10, 15-12, 16-13. And the NL East, with the Mets 17-9, you figure the Nationals at their 12-16 now, the Nationals will get better. But the point being is, at 500 even at this point, the Giants are hanging around and keeping themselves close enough. They're not the Reds at 7-21 or the Marlins at 9-18, where they're falling way behind. And so good for them. 5-2, hanging in there without Bumgarner. Number one, and this one was pretty easy, the New York Yankees. They're back. 4-game sweep against the Twins, 3-game sweep at LA. They did it in a lot of different ways, whether they scored 14, 11, 8, and 7, and then they win games 4-3, 4-3, 2-1. So they're winning close, low-scoring games. They're putting up a bunch of runs to win those games. And so for a team that, with the narrative with Giancarlo Stanton struggling, with the start that Boston got out to, where they looked like they were running away with things, it's a reminder that you can't win the race in April, and all of a sudden, here are the Yankees at 18-9 and only 2 games back of the Red Sox at 20-7, and it kind of evened out to where we expected to be, where those two teams are the ones fighting for the top of the division, where the Yankees are still, 9-game winning streak. The Yankees are going to be a force. It didn't look that way when they were at 500 and Stanton wasn't hitting, and the world was burning in New York. But they're back on top. They, Didi is an MVP candidate through April, so good to see him get off to a good start. If you're the Yankees, you're getting production from Miguel Andujar. Gleyber Torres got his promotion. Tyler Austin playing well in Greg Bird's absence. So getting contributions from a lot of places. And 9-game winning streak, 4 against the Twins, 3 against the Angels. When you win in that the fashion that the Yankees have, that earns you the top spot on this week's power rankings. Now, let's go to the Dodgers, who I believe have the most important week in baseball coming up. Now, they were number 2 in our power rankings last week. They looked like they had been turning a corner, like they were going to be, you know, back to normal, whatever normal is for the Dodgers, back to winning, and all was going to be well, especially when you looked at their schedule coming up where, okay, they sweep the Padres, they take 2 out of 3 against the Nationals, okay, things are back to normal, they're going to play the Marlins at home, they're going to go to San Francisco, and they're going to continue their winning ways. And then the Marlins come to L.A. and take 2 out of 3, and then the Dodgers go to San Francisco and lose 3 out of 4. Not only that, but you have the Cody Bellinger incident on Sunday where Bellinger was benched for what Dave Roberts said was a lack of hustle. Bellinger came back saying he didn't want to make the first out at third. I looked at this a couple different ways. I looked at the replay, and if you look at it in a vacuum, you can't tell me that Cody Bellinger is even at 75% running at any point in from first to second. He hit the ball 400 plus feet in what they call Triple's Alley in San Francisco, and he gets a stand-up double. He carries the bat halfway with him to first base. You can't watch that replay and say that he's even at 75% at any point out of the box to first base to second base. There was one point in between first and second where, I better start running a little harder. And then he realized, okay, well, I'm not going to make it, and I don't want to risk it. So when Bellinger says, I didn't want to risk making the first out at third, he's right. But also, if he's running hard out of the box in that situation, I don't think it's even close. He gets to third base. Now, at the same time, Bellinger also said, we were down 4-0. So in that context, the most important thing is base runners. And so I'm not going to make some grand statement or judgment on Cody Bellinger because he didn't run as hard as he could in a 4-0 in a game where you're down by 4 and you lead off the inning and you need base runners. So I think you have to look at the entirety of it. I'm not going to say whether it was a good move by Roberts or a bad move by Roberts because I'm not in the clubhouse every day. I don't have the pulse of the team that Roberts has. I don't have the pulse of the team that a beat writer has for the Dodgers, so it would be impossible and irresponsible for me to say whether he made the right decision or not doing that. I do think that there's an argument to be made that you're right, Cody Bellinger didn't run as hard as he could out of the box, and in a situation like that, that's a little bit different than a ground ball to third base, where I think we talked about it, or we didn't, but some people, I think it was Bryce Harper, where he didn't run out of a ball to the infield where he could have been safe, and there's been other instances like that. I think somebody brought it up. I think another beat writer or a columnist, it would more likely be from a columnist who takes those stances rather than a beat writer who usually is better. But a columnist called out a player for not running hard to first base, and my opinion is that I don't want my players running 100% on every single ball hit to the infield or whatever. I mean, I think you pick and choose your spots. It all kind of depends on the game, but the odds of beating out a ground ball to the infield versus the odds of getting a stupid injury or a tweak or something, it's just not worth it. In some cases, again, you have to look at the entirety of the situation. One thing that I usually like what players do is players will run hard until the guy fields the ball, and once he throws it, he sees, okay, either I'm close or I'm not, and kind of leads up a little bit. I'm fine with that. I saw somebody making the argument that this isn't high school, where high school and Major League Baseball are two different games. you know, in high school, yes, you run everything out no matter what, whether it's hit to the pitcher, whether it's hit to shortstop, whether it's hit over the fence, you run as hard as you can until you know. But I think one thing that I always heard from coaches is that once the player makes more money than them, then they can do whatever they want. And so for people that are trying to treat Major League Baseball like high school, I think that's pretty dumb. Anyway, back to the Dodgers. Sorry about that brief tangent, but you know, the Bellinger thing plays into this a little bit because that's going to be a hype story. You're going to watch how the team reacts to something like that, how Bellinger reacts to something like that. But there are a couple other things not going well for the Dodgers, whether it be, you know, the injury to Justin Turner has proven to be massive, just not only his production, his defense at third base, the depth that is affected by Turner's injury, but also just the way that, like, Turner works counts. And that was the thing that I was most impressive with watching the Dodgers last postseason, especially against the Diamondbacks, and I think Justin Turner was in the middle of it, is every at-bat Justin Turner has was a good one. It was a deep count. He made every pitcher work, and that created a kind of a waterfall effect to the rest of the team. And so then you see those guys putting up quality at-bats, and I'm not saying that Justin Turner is going to come back and now everybody's at-bat quality is going to improve, but not only Turner's production, but the way that he takes at-bats and all that, I think that plays a part. It impacts the depth. When Logan Forsythe was moving to third, his defense wasn't quite as good. He didn't hit when he was healthy. Now you're playing Chase Utley every day instead of having him as more of a bench role. Austin Barnes struggling when he gets time. Chris Taylor isn't the Chris Taylor of last year. He looks more like the Chris Taylor of old. Yasiel Puig wasn't playing well. Now he's on the DL. So Rich Hill, it doesn't sound like he's going to make his start like he was supposed to. So you've got some injuries piling up. You have underperformance piling up. Maybe Alex Verdugo can come in and give the team a bit of a spark. You know, offensively, defensively, not the numbers that Cody Bellinger put up, but just that, you know, the kick in the step that they need. We'll see. You know, this week they've got four against the Diamondbacks, and then they have three at San Diego. So you've got a whole week on the road. You've got two Clayton Kershaw starts that you need to win. And really, against San Diego, you should win two out of three, if not sweep. So the Dodgers are 12-15. They're seven games back of the Diamondbacks. Dave Roberts said at the end of the day, the Dodgers are going to be on top of the division. I mean, what's he supposed to say? He's supposed to say stuff like that. He should be confident in that. But I don't know that the Diamondbacks are going to go away, especially when they only add to the team when Steven Souza comes back, when Jake Lamb comes back, when Shelby Miller comes back healthy, whatever role he's placed in. When Paul Goldschmidt starts hitting like Paul Goldschmidt. So it'll be tough for them to get there. It is, again, April 30th, so certainly possible. I would put my money on Arizona winning this division if I'm looking at the standings today and looking at how things will project going forward. But it'll be a big week for the Dodgers to get back on track after falling kind of on their face last week. So we'll see. That'll do it for Monday, April 30th's episode of Locked On MLB. You can find us on Twitter, Locked On MLB. You can follow me on Twitter, Stokey Tommy. We are on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and find everything that we're doing at LockedOnMLB.com, including our network of growing writers and growing teams. We've got 11 teams covered, and we're gonna keep going from there.